From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Hey there, children of night. Welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever argyle wearing, cape wearing, and the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my producer, Count Panic. Oh, hey there, Count.
That may work on your podcast there, Bob, though, but people watching live video. They can't be fooled. They know what happened.
But well, the podcast people have no idea what we're talking about, so let's just continue.
But yes, pleasure to be here wearing our guy once again on Bob After Dark. Who's sitting next to you, Bob?
To my left, making his most triumphant return, the Australian occultist, the man who once threw a boomerang at seven demons, is able to communicate with kangaroos, and can cast fire from a lighter, one of my best mates, the Australian occultist himself, Anthony DeFabio.
Hey, oi. Once again, how are you, my mate?
I'm doing good. Welcome back.
Well, thank you.
It's
wonderful to be back.
We haven't heard, seen you in a while. How have you been?
I went hiatus, mate.
I saw that.
I went on a walkabout.
Yeah.
And as we're going to talk about it again on the show this evening, I did a few things for myself, and I'm back, baby.
That's great. Yeah. Is Count Panic ready for his weekend update? No? Okay, let's talk about you for a bit.
Me?
I want to talk about you. I want to hear what's going on in your head. What have you been doing?
in my head?
Ah, jeez.
Alice went down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, let's talk about you.
Sure. Well, there's a few things going on in my life, and I am basically very, very grateful to all my mates and my family for the love and support, and it's been very overwhelming that I have been receiving all these messages and all the support from everybody from the show and everybody that watches the show and friends and family. So really from the bottom of my heart, I really want to say thank you, and I really do love all of you, and I wish nothing but blessings upon all of you guys. But what was really nice, I think the best part of coming to the show, because I got ready, got the old vest back on.
Yeah, I see you got the vest back.
That's good. I do have the vest back on. I pulled up to the station and kicked the leprechaun out of the car, and
was he from Mobile?
I was in Mobile for a while.
Okay, that's good.
And first thing that I did notice is that there was a buffet at the studio. Second thing I noticed that there was some baked goods. Well, technically it's a baked good, cobbler.
We had cobbler and whipped cream.
But the only thing that there wasn't that much left over.
I had some whipped
cream.
I just said whipped cream. True story. I had a cup of whipped cream.
You didn't have the cobbler.
No, that one did.
I saw a little cup action going on there, a little whipped cream, a little chocolate sauce too as well. If you notice,
I'm just wondering where the cobbler went. That's all.
Yeah, it's a mystery. I turned my back for a few seconds, so I don't really know for sure either.
Interesting. But I have to say, you're my best mate.
Oh, man.
And I love you.
I love you too.
It's great to be back.
I'm going to catch you up to speed.
Please.
Because I know you've been listening to the show, so we've been doing Creepypasta Month on the show, and I laughed at myself when we started the month.
What kind of pasta?
That's exactly what I was waiting for in my head, because I was prepping myself for the month. I knew I was going to be by myself for a while, and I'm like, all right, so Anthony's not on the show. Does Anthony even know what a creepypasta is?
Mate, I've cooked a bunch of pasta, and when they come out of that water, when they're al dente, they definitely are creepy at times. So yes, I do know what a creepypasta is.
Do you know what a computer is?
We have sand. in Australia. And that's how our entertainment is. We throw sand up in the air, and the way that the wind blows, we have a bloody good time.
I needed to start the episode with that joke, because I knew in the back of my mind, Anthony's like, I cooked some ravioli once, Ben.
I did. Creepy ravioli.
All right, let's go over to Count Panic for his weekend update, because that's what the fans really like to hear.
Oh, I'm sure.
They like hearing about Panic's updates.
Update, of course, on video side of things. I released a video from the Comic-Con there, as far as that goes. I released the video with the Comic-Con there. I'm doing signs, but people could see me in the video doing signs, too, as well. But, yeah, people still asking you at the NWI Comic-Con, where's Bob? I said he's on assignment. He wishes he could be here, but he's out, so you can watch on Panic in the Region on WGLBnetwork.com.
Excellent.
Other than that, nothing too drastic.
Would you like to know about my weekend?
Yeah, what happened?
Yesterday, sure. We had some unusual warm weather during the springtime.
Beautiful, wasn't it?
It was actually gorgeous.
Really, really nice.
So I hopped in the car and I decided I was going to go to a cemetery.
As you do on a beautiful
day. On a beautiful day, you know,
yes.
normal people go and they do investigations.
Yes.
Or not in investigations, they go on picnics.
Right.
They go on walks through the park.
Right.
They go eat, you know, whatever. They go visit grandma, their aunt, whatever.
Right.
So what does Bob do from Bob After Dark?
What does Bob do from Bob After Dark?
Went to a cemetery.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And I actually went to probably one of the most famous spots in the Chicagoland community as far as cemeteries and the spooky stuff. I went to Resurrection Cemetery, which we had a little history with.
We do have a little bit of history with Resurrection Cemetery.
We went back in Halloween with our friend Kale and James from Peoria.
We certainly did.
We did a quick little investigation, nothing like super in-depth, but I went out there.
Right.
You could say I was drawn to the cemetery. I wanted to go back, and I wanted to go back during the day because I've never been to Resurrection Cemetery during the day inside.
Right.
You always hear the stories about the gates, right?
That's correct.
Mary grabbed, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
But I've never been inside, so I got to go inside, and lo and behold, what happens after a long winter with all that snow that just melts all of a sudden? Mud.
Mm. was it creepy mud?
It was mud. It sucked. I went to a couple sections and I went and did some walkthroughs and I got some photos of some statues. I got to post those up yet.
Yes.
And do you want to know who I bumped into in the most random circumstances ever?
Resurrection Mary.
Absolutely not. I didn't see her. I had some weird situations happen to me there. Nothing like concrete.
Right.
There were times I'd be walking through with my phone though.
Right.
And like the camera would just shut off. And so it would like leave the camera app without me pressing anything.
Ooh.
This is a little weird. Like it was telling me not to take pictures, but
right.
You know, and I always go through whenever I'm at a cemetery and I have a certain, you know, rules of etiquette when I'm there. I always try to clean up a grave site when I'm there.
And what else, young grasshopper?
Oh, always stomp your feet on your way out. Always ask permission and always go the opposite way.
Yes.
You came in at.
Very well, young grasshopper.
I pay attention.
I'm very, very proud of you.
I pay attention. So I went to the cemetery and I bumped into our fan Jack, who's also a paranormal investigator. He does some of the Chicago ghost tours. I bumped in him.
Really?
Yeah. And we ended up going to the world's famous Chet's Melody Lounge, which is the famous ghost bar.
Bloody Mary.
The Bloody Mary on the bar, which...
Was it there?
It was not. They put those up, they put it up on Sunday morning, and then they pour the drink out for her at dusk.
Gotcha.
But we went, and we had some beers, and then the owner, Rich, was nice enough to give me a tour of the basement, which is supposedly haunted of itself. And we were talking for a while, and I asked the owner, Rich, I said, hey, have you ever seen Mary? And he's like, I'm going to be honest with you, no. I've never seen her. There's lots of people that'll drive into the bar and say, you know, hey, I just saw this woman.
Yep.
I think I hit somebody. I picked up a hitchhiker, whatever. He says I hear these stories all the time, but I've never seen Mary. He's like, but I can tell you that this bar has some weird stuff going on here. And he was telling me stories like he'll be closing up at night and he'll hear little girls' laughter. I was talking to a couple of the bartenders, and one of which was telling me a story about how she went into the ladies' bathroom to close up one night, and she saw a pair of feet when there was nobody there.
What?
That's cool.
Yeah, she said they've told me about how they've seen doors swing open and closed on their own. They've had countless investigations there. I mean, when you talk about like haunted places in the area, Chet's is probably the biggest because and you go there, and the cool thing is, minus the regulars that go to Chet's to drink, the people that go there are all paranormal enthusiasts.
Right.
So you feel like you're at like a legitimate hunter's bar from like Supernatural, because everybody's there and they're all talking and
never watched it.
I don't know what you're waiting for. It's a good show. Nice. But it was a really cool experience. If you're ever in the Chicagoland area and you're in Justice, I highly recommend you go and you go to Chet's. It's on Archer, right across the street from the cemetery.
Well, why don't we do an investigation and we can have, you know, we can put it out there with one of our viewers, if whoever the viewers want to come along, and we can take it for a little tour of the cemetery.
The cemetery would be great. I didn't get a chance to make it to the mausoleum.
Okay.
Because it was getting late, and another big rule of mine is I don't like to interrupt people when they're there mourning. If I'm at a cemetery doing a walkthrough or whatever, let the people mourn. And for somebody must have recently been put into said mausoleum, because there were a lot of cars out there.
Okay.
And I didn't want to go in and just be wandering around and be like, hey, guy in Ghostbusters hoodie, who are you? How'd you know the deceased? I didn't. I'm just here to say hi.
This is what I do on a Sunday.
This is what I do on a Sunday. So I didn't want to be that guy. So I didn't make it to the mausoleums, but that's supposedly one of the hot spots in the cemetery. So I didn't make it in there. But man, let me tell you, it's the biggest mausoleum I've ever seen. We saw it when we were out there. It's massive. It's like the size is like a, you know, it's almost like a shopping mall.
Yeah.
It's huge. So it was pretty cool to see him, like to be there.
Yes.
But next time I go, I'm going to go maybe when it's really early, maybe when the cemetery first opens, so I can go in and see the mausoleum.
Sure.
But yeah, it was pretty cool. I hung out with Jack for a good hot minute, drank old style at an old Chicago bar, which is as legit as it gets. And we talked a little bit about the story of Archer Avenue being a native trading ground.
Big time.
A lot of they say Archer is one giant ley line.
It really is.
So it was pretty cool. I had a good time. Cool. So that's my mini investigation from the Resurrection Cemetery and Chet's Melody.
And don't forget, the last time we went there, speaking of malfunctioning, and
that cell phone, her cell phone app like started going off and talking in my voice.
And yeah, you were going through in loops.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
That was awful. No weird energy this time. Nothing at all. Hmm. You know, I just kind of went in there and I'm like, I'm by myself. You know, it's during the daylight. I don't think anything's going to come out at me, but it was.
Yeah, it just gets attached to you, but you know what?
What's a little attachment once in a while? Keeps you alive, right?
You know what? It does.
So I'm seeing James in the chat. He's chiming in talking about the EVPs. He's actually been inside the mausoleum.
Fantastic. Oh, I'd love to hear those, James.
Great. So
absolutely.
That's my weekend update. I did a mini investigation, and I watched Coco.
Isn't that nice?
I've never seen it. That movie. Every paranormal enthusiast should watch Coco. Every person should see that movie in general. But
Day of the Dead.
Specifically, every fan of our show and people that are just big into the paranormal, they should watch that movie. It's so good.
Visually, it's stunning.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of cool symbolism in the movie.
Absolutely.
And the story is really good. It's got a lot of touching moments, but I highly recommend everybody go check out Coco if you've never seen it. But I watched it just on a whim. Queen of Night and I were kicking back, and she's like, "Oh, we want to watch a movie." I'm like, "Yeah." And she's like, "She's like Coco," and I'm like, "Okay, I've never seen it." But
And the Mexican culture with the Day of the Dead is just beautiful.
Yeah,
it's very, very beautiful. So you know what we should do? We should have a movie night.
Oh yeah,
with all of us, we host it at the studio. We'll all get dressed up in our jammies. We'll put Coco on. Yeah. We'll make some hot cocoa.
Oh, that's great.
No, Anthony, you missed this episode, but we got to watch Pinocchio's Revenge as well.
I've seen that.
No, you haven't.
I have seen
it. Okay. We were talking about that. That was on the Haunted Doll episode.
Where Geppetto.
Yes.
All right.
Oh, that's wild. I've never met another human being that's seen that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, my. But either way, it's really cool to have everybody back. Before we start,
the band's back together.
So real quick, this upcoming Saturday, that would be Saturday the 29th. It's a special day. It's Leap Day. There's a lot of energy that goes into Leap Day. That is why we are hosting the Bob After Dark fan meetup. That is at 2 p.m. at C2E2 at the McCormick Place, Chicago. We're going to be in the main foyer by the fountains, 2 p.m. Myself, Count Panic, and Anthony's coming.
I'll be there.
Anthony's coming. So if you guys are at C2E2 in the city, or if you just want to pop into McCormick Place, you don't need a badge to come to the fountains.
You don't need a badge. Come with me.
You can come see the fountain. The fountains are in the front of McCormick Place.
Yes.
You can walk in, come meet us. And we're going to have a lot of paranormal enthusiasts there. And the other really cool story is that Ghostly Podcast is teaming up with us for this fan meetup.
Ghostly's going to be there?
So it's us plus Pat and Rebecca. Nice. It's going to be a bunch of paranormal enthusiasts all getting around. And we're very excited about
that. It's going to be a good time.
And then, so we're going to be there. We'll be there all weekend. Come say hello to us. It's going to be a lot of fun. And that's everything. So we're very excited.
It's going to be a big event.
Very big event. Yeah.
Good. And who's to stop us from going in there
guys, can we not anger Reed Pop and the convention staff?
Anthony, we could storm in there.
No, please don't upset the convention staff. Diplomatic. They're very nice. They're very nice to let us have our meetup there.
Diplomatic immunity, man.
They can't stop us all.
They can't. Jeez. Exact. Power in numbers.
We want to see them aliens. Power in numbers. We want to see them aliens.
So if this is your first time ever watching Bob After Dark live, or listening to us on Podcast Land, which if you were listening to us on Podcast Land, specifically on Apple Podcasts, you should be leaving us a 5-star review. You should. We read all the reviews. Leave us 5 stars. Say hello. What the show's all about. We cover weird, spooky news stories of the week. Anything from science that's leaning towards science fiction that's actually based in reality. Weird, high strangeness news. Anthony sometimes comes prepared for that part.
Ye of little faith.
Do you actually have a news story?
I've got something better than a news story.
Okay, that's
so
fine.
You let me know when you're
so
ready.
We're gonna do. We got some news stories for you guys, and then we're going to cover.
Get ready for my story, guys. You're gonna want to see this.
And then we're gonna be wrapping up Creepypasta Month with the story of the 11 Mile Road, which I'm very excited about.
Very, very nice.
Before we get to the spooky news, real quick, yes. I'm announcing what next month is. Next month is March. We're doing Phalor Month.
And you know what that means, folks. It only comes around one time a year. But there's a little beastie.
The Punchki.
The Punchki?
The Punchki.
No, the little beastie from Mobile, Alabama.
You know them. Tomorrow. That's my daddy. He was wanted to bring the Punchkis. But that's the Mobile, Alabama. We're not dedicating an episode of the Mobile, Alabama.
Guys, if you want an episode.
We have to cover an hour-long show that gives us 30 seconds.
Very easily. Very easily. I've already rented the backhoe.
But we're going to be covering Phalor Month all throughout the month of March, where we're going to be talking about different things of different aspects of the Fae all throughout the month of March. So we're very excited about that. But let's dive right into the spooky. What's up?
Go on.
Oh, diving right into the spooky news of the week. You want me to do my stories and you'll do yours last since you got the one hyper story?
Sure.
All right. So a new theory is coming out from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, Professor Bernard. He has a theory about time. He believes that time is not linear. Time is all existing at any point. He's calling it the box theory and the box universe theory. And he's basically saying that if you look at the universe at a downward angle, as if it was drawn on a piece of paper, mm-hmm. past, present, and future all exist at the same exact time. And he's saying that it's just, there's no such thing as causing a grandfather paradox.
Hmm.
And he says this is the best chance we have at time travel, because if time exists non-linearly and it exists here and now, and you can hit all three in one shot, that it's much easier to do. And it's much easier to go back in time and not cause these paradoxes.
Very cool. And I like that the theory is that if we're looking down at time, we actually see that everything is basically
looping.
Does that kind of go into the theory of quantum mechanics and the observer?
Yeah.
Ah,
it's not bad.
I see what I did there.
I see what you did there.
You know, the theory of quantum mechanics and quantum physics and stuff like that is that we as the observers basically have the perception of time, space, and reality within ourselves.
Yeah.
So I like that.
Hashtag panic steak.
Well, who's to say that right now we're not time traveling, right?
Very true.
We could be.
That's a philosophy like
else right now. Right?
Exactly. Now, what about if I just walked into the studios? What about if I just walked in and sat next to
you? Can you meet yourself during time traveling or no?
They're saying you can't because it exists all at once. If you leave here, that stops this and it stops this all at once.
All right.
Do you know I time traveled once?
Oh, did you?
I went back to one of my favorite eras, 50s.
Uh-huh.
And
went 1750s?
To one, no, I 1950s. And I ended up going to this dance that I always wanted to go to, and I ended up playing Johnny B. Goode on this guitar. Yeah,
Anthony, that sounds awfully familiar. Wow.
Yeah, it was really cool.
That story is very
Under the Sea dance. It was
very familiar. Were you hanging out with Crispin Glover?
I'm not sure what the guy was.
Did you meet your dad?
I did, and he was me.
Yeah, did your mom have a crush on you?
Well, in certain states, that's legal, right? But.
Did you drive a DeLorean to get there?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Oh, boy. Also, our friend Relin, our Whitney, she's a brilliant, brilliant Reiki healer, and she's a paranormal enthusiast herself. You guys should go check out all of her things. She just chimed in and said, maybe from the perspective of the divine, as they look down on what she, her big theories on what divine is, she considers it a 2D world and a 3D world.
Yes.
What we live in is a 2D world and what she calls a 3D. So she says it's like the divine looking down at a 2D world. So I just wanted to chime in
about
that.
That's a very nice comment. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's cool. Very cool.
Thanks, Rylan.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers. Okay, so the second story I have. Oh, your take, by the way, because Anthony delved into telling me about his Back to the Future story. You had to get back here, right? 88 miles per hour, you needed plutonium and lightning bolts.
But we did it in kilometers, so it was different.
All right, hashtag panic stage.
Generally, that was what I was trying to say. That my take was, how do we know we're not time traveling right now? I mean, we could be anywhere, and I mean, we could be stuck in the...
In the twilight
zone. Well, no, but if you believe in this idea that it all exists at once, if you leave here, you're just leaving here.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I get in my car, I'll leave here for sure.
And that's no, but what I'm saying is that ceases future from going on.
Okay.
It, like, you from the future is then you in the present.
Do I have to fight myself or no?
No, you won't bump into yourself because you, the entity, is moving around past and future all at the same time.
Right.
Hmm.
So, like, you going back, I guess you have a... No, because you would just cease. Your past you is you at that moment that you go back.
All right. I'm not going to sign up for it just yet.
Yeah. Just wait for that one.
I'll wait for it to happen a few times to other people, then I'll do it.
Exactly. Wait for the specials to go on.
Okay, so the second story I have comes to us from Mars.
Ah.
Yeah. The Mars rover InSight discovered a weird glow in the Martian sky at night. Hmm. Basically, what their hypothesis is right now is that gases are being caught in their atmosphere, kind of shielding it from all of this nonsense above it.
Hmm.
And also, as of today, InSight has reported 174, in what NASA's calling it, Mars quakes. It's basically shaking just like we have here. So what they're saying is that because the glows are being caught in the night sky, that it's more inhabitable. It's more like our Earth, the more they find out.
The atmosphere,
and now they're feeling quakes, which means that the scientists are now hypothesizing that there's a core to Mars just like what we have as well.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So
we'll be living on Mars one day.
I don't think I'll go. I'll stay here.
Would you?
I'd stay here, hang out. I'll see this through.
Wouldn't that be nice to do a panel on Mars?
No.
MarsCon.
First podcast.
Welcome to MarsCon, everybody. We have guest Bob After Dark. Anthony's just encrined in a tomb at that point. We released him, but Anthony, come out. You got to get to
like
MarsCon.
Like Han Solo.
Encased in carbonite. So that's...
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Panic's take on that one.
All right. Well, you know what? The Mars whole thing is a weird thing to think. Because once you go there, right? You can't come back. You're stuck there, if I'm correct on that.
Yeah, it depends if they have the CTA going.
I guess so, but What about this? I'm going to take it to the next level. Time traveling on Mars. Think about that. Bending time and space.
Wow.
If you will.
I like what you did.
Humor me for a bit here.
I mean, Mars, you just time travel. Mars exists on the same time plane as everything else, at least in this plane of reality.
But what's the time zones over there?
Central.
You got Central Time?
Central. All right. Central Standard Time.
Central Standard.
Then I'll go. I'm all for it because I don't like being
You don't want to get jet lagged, or I guess you'd be rocket lagged.
Yeah. I hear it's lonely.
You can fly there.
Speaking of rockets, that's going to go into my third story. Oh, and it's not necessarily a good one either. It's kind of sad. There was, unfortunately, a death. Oh. There was a daredevil who built a homemade rocket to go to space. And he actually, not space, he wanted to go 5,000 feet in the air. And just kind of a twist to the story. I wouldn't be mentioning this if there wasn't a reason for it. He wanted to go 5,000 feet up in the air to prove that the Earth was flat. Hmm. He's a flat earther. Was a flat earther. And unfortunately, his rocket, because it was homemade, didn't last very long. The rocket ended up nosediving. The parachute didn't go off. And that's the end of him. Yeah.
Sad.
But you know what? There was science.com had a really cool article written about him. And, well, you know, you could be a flat earther. That's fine. I'm not going to knock you for what you believe in. We talk about some really strange things on the show.
We certainly do.
So if you're a flat earther, all the more power to you, right? They wrote up a nice article saying he died while being like observed by a lot of these major scientific communities. They wanted to see this homemade rocket contain a person.
Yeah.
And he went up trying to prove a hypothesis that he had. And I guess in a very touching way, he went out the way he wanted to.
Went out with a bang.
With no pun intended.
No pun intended.
But yeah, he plummeted to his death. So I guess there's a moral of this. I mean, I don't want to hear it in the chat about people knocking the flat earthers. I don't want to hear it. I'm not one.
No, of course not.
I'm not one, but I support them. I support people that want to believe what they want.
Sure.
And I just want to say that if you're going to go out in any way, I guess going out to try to prove something that you believe in or standing up for something you believe in, that's the best way to go.
Yes.
And he did.
If you're going to go down with something that you believe in firmly and strongly.
So that's
good. Wow. Yeah. You ready for
We actually have one more story.
Oh, you do.
It's kind of developing.
Okay.
There was a Mothman sighting.
Yes, 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 yes. Good old friend Andy.
Andy, a fan of the show, wrote
and
in.
He did. Not so long ago, actually.
A couple hours ago.
Yeah.
And Andy said one of his friends, he commented on your stuff about it. One of his jazz musician friends. You want to tell the story?
Yeah. Saw something with a massive wingspan, and he wasn't quite sure what it was. And I think it was around Chicago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So there could potentially be a Mothman sighting or a Thunderbird. I was thinking too.
Oh.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a Thunderbird sighting in a long time.
Well, we're due.
So we got breaking news that there was a Mothman sighting today. Yes.
And thanks, Andy, for sharing that.
If you guys have anything you'd ever want to contribute to the spooky news of the week, if you ever have a theory you want to go over, or tell us about a sighting, whatever, shoot us an email, bob@bobafterdark.com, or you can hit us up on the Facebook page. I'm the only one that reads the Bob After Dark emails.
I read them all the time.
But if you want something to specifically go and you want to ask Anthony or Panic,
I'll be there to answer your questions.
Panic
24/7. I'm by the line.
By the way, hashtag Panic's take on the Rocket Man.
Yeah, you know what? That's a sad story indeed. But
it is.
I would think somebody in the crowd would be like, you know what? This is probably not the best idea. A man-made rocket to go up and do this thing. But you're gonna go out doing what you, I guess, essentially love and trying to prove that the Earth is flat. Then more power to you. But sad ending to the story.
It is. Andy chimed in as well. I guess the gentleman was on the Edens
Expressway, which in Chicago. So
yep.
We'll see what happens. Maybe we'll get an interview with the guy.
That'd be cool.
If we could get that next week. Make that happen, Count.
You want to go on the Edens?
No. No, let's see if we can get the Mothman sighting.
I'll get you Mothman. How about that?
Let's get Mothman.
If you can get Mothman, I'd really appreciate it.
But there's more than one, right?
We don't know.
In another time.
If I can get one, that'd be cool.
Okay.
You ready?
We're ready. Let's hear Anthony's thing.
Right.
Before we move on to the lore of the week.
So, my darling friend Kale, my sister. Right?
Yeah.
We got a call on the wee early hours of Sunday morning.
Okay.
That we needed to do an emergency cleansing.
Okay.
On a property.
Okay.
So we ended up going, and there was a couple that lived in this old barn. I'm not sure when the barn was built, but we were, as soon as we got to the place, we kind of started feeling a little, something's not right here.
Sure.
So we proceeded to enter, and the lovely couple were having some almost poltergeist activity, paranormal activity, major things. So Kale and I did, you know, a little bit of a tour, and it led us to the attic.
Okay.
You always go to the attic, right?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
And by the attic, there's a window. And by the window, do you mind if I...
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Excuse me.
If you guys are listening on the radio or the podcast, Anthony came in with this box.
So...
And it's wrapped in saran wrap.
No, it's... Well, it's black.
Yeah, wrapped in saran wrap.
Can you guys see that?
It's a cart. Well, we got to explain it to the podcast.
So, okay. It's... So, Kale and I were... Went into the attic, and her feelings were pretty much coincided with my feelings, what was going on. Pains, strange kind of feelings. Noises were happening. Movements were happening.
Yeah.
So we ended up finding something by the attic window.
Okay.
And I proceeded to bring that with us. I'm not sure if Panic can zoom in on this. And in the meantime,
if there is a doll in that box, Anthony.
In the meantime. In the meantime, I have contained it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It has contained until we sort. And this just happened, so this is pretty fresh. But I'd like to share with the viewers basically what we found. So let me open it up, and if
there's a doll in that box, no. Anthony.
So this is one of the items that we found. I'm not sure. Can you guys see that?
That thing is horrifying. Oh. Why? Okay. Why? I just want to point out.
Right.
That
have a look at the face. I don't know. Let me turn it. Can you guys see that?
Attachments.
All right. Can you guys see that?
It's a doll. Yeah, you don't have to show me.
And
the doll is for the people listening on the podcast land. The doll is in pinstripe pink and white dress,
it's a very
blonde
old
hair. It's very old.
And if Panic,
absolutely not.
Beautiful.
What is that thing?
I call this the Kathy Bates doll. But anyway, if you guys,
look at that.
Can you guys see that?
It's beautiful.
Let's see.
Is she okay? So it's a
now.
A doll in a now, white wedding gown or yes. communion dress.
Yes. So, okay.
I didn't know he was doing this, by the way.
No, nobody knew. So, what Kale and I picked up from these dolls is there's definitely attachment to these dolls. The first one that we did receive, okay, can you see that? The first one that we did receive, that we opened up on the show, there was somewhat of a residual. These are legit haunted dolls, ladies and gentlemen.
That's great. You could put them right back in the box.
So, I don't know, let me get a close up.
Don't. Nope.
Can you get a close up, Panic?
Nope. Nope.
But if you can see,
no,
I mean,
he's
beautiful.
Moving closer to me in the studio.
They're beautiful
guys.
Dolls.
No, I, you know, that's.
They're beautiful dolls. They really, really are. And they came in.
They're coming for Uncle Bob.
And they came in
I
pairs.
Want no part of this.
So, I managed to...
That's great. You don't look great in your apocathy.
Absolutely.
That's great.
So, we managed to take them, remove them.
Yeah, I see.
Spiritually remove them from the home.
Yeah,
we did a cleansing on the home, and now they're going to come home with us. So, Kale and I are going to store them out, you know, in the apothecary, and...
The Queen of the Night wants to know if you can... Bring them over for a play date with my doll.
We're going to have to ask them. We're going to have to ask them. But I just wanted to share that with all the viewers.
That's great.
Have a look at the face, though.
I don't want porcelain.
It's old.
I see they're old.
It's porcelain.
That thing is horrifying.
But
That one's not so bad. This one here is...
Well, if you look at the face. I don't know.
This is the pink dress.
So what we were getting from, from this one here, I was getting something about Lithuania.
Sure. Okay.
So we think there is definitely an attachment. There's an older lady.
Okay.
And the older lady, I believe, is with this one here, with the Kathy Bates doll.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one here has a younger girl attached. Very strong.
I really appreciate you bringing them on the show.
You're very welcome.
You could put them back in the box.
So, okay.
I have enough haunted dolls now. I got two in my life. Okay. I don't need any more.
You sure you don't want to hold it?
No, I'm good.
Come on.
I don't want to hold it.
She wants you to hold it.
She don't want me to hold it.
Well, that's not what she's telling me.
Jeez.
Go on. Just give her. Be nice. Be very respectful of her because you're going to get attachments.
You're not going to make me. Guys, this is probably. No one's ever going to screen cap this. But you see that? This is the one that scares me the most. I want to point that out there. I saw that bald spot on the back of her head.
Yeah.
Here, you take that, and I'm done here.
Okay,
cool. That's a good talk. Good job, Anthony. We appreciate you. We appreciate what you're showing us from your investigations. Just don't bring me dolls. Show me what about a haunted like bowling shoes or something harmless that doesn't scare me.
Sure.
Did you see that?
What's that?
That box moved when Anthony put those dolls back.
Yeah, because the box moved because Anthony put them in there. You can put the box away now, so we can move on.
So there's the box has been contained. There's some before I get my put it into the apothecary. There's some trinkets and some stuff in there just to kind of keep them.
Sure, that's great.
Keep them at bay.
Yeah, that's good. I appreciate it.
I just don't have any room on my car. Can I just come?
No, you're good. You brought them here. You can bring them back.
All right.
That's
my story.
Whew, man, that one was...
How does it feel? Seriously.
I couldn't take it. That one was rough. Yes. I'm telling you, the one in the dress. And that's the one you decided to make me hold, the pinstripe dress one.
Yeah, you'll be okay.
All right.
It's, did you feel the energy?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's major attachment. Yeah, you'll be all right.
Yeah, thanks, Anthony. I'll be waking you up tonight when I have nightmares.
Sure.
You know, I'm the...
Well, I'll be up. Maybe the doll will answer.
She answers that phone. I'm good. I nope.
What are the dolls' names?
They don't have them.
Oh.
No.
Okay, good.
Are you?
Let's dive into...
We can make some.
Right. Let's dive into the lore of the week. All right, guys. So this entire month, we've been talking about creepypastas. What is a creepypasta for Anthony?
It's a ravioli that's misshaped and deformed and stands in the middle of the kitchen at night.
No. A creepypasta is an online...
I thought that's what a creepypasta is.
A creepypasta is an online written horror story.
Oh.
We talked a little bit about Slender Man. We talked about Robert the Doll. We talked about cursed images. And we're going to be finishing up with something a little different. This is probably one of the most different episodes of Bob After Dark you'll ever hear. Because it's not necessarily a ghost story. It's not necessarily a story about demons or the occult. It's about a travel that you can take.
Yes.
We'll get to it. And this story is called The 11-Mile Road. Have you ever desired something you would stop at nothing to get? Would you test yourself? Put yourself at risk? Maybe even risk your own life? For this last creepypasta of the month, we want to talk about a ritual pasta. A ritual pasta is a little different from a normal creepypasta. Ritual pastas are about something you can do to summon something, to accomplish something, or even to banish something. Ritual pastas are stories that date back, not the idea of ritual pasta, the name, but rituals themselves date back thousands of years into the occult, in witchcraft, and even in modern-day well-practiced religions. Rituals can be something as simple as, I'm going to wake up every day, brush my teeth, and make my bed. But that doesn't make for an interesting story. This ritual pasta is about a journey of self. What are you willing to risk to get what you want? I'll be reading this ritual word for word for dramatic purposes. We begin. Have you ever wanted something you truly desired? Whether it be something material like money, or non-material like talent or revenge, but believed it was too far from reach? There wasn't anything you could do to accomplish this? Well, I have good news for you. There's a place you can go that is not on any map. It doesn't have any coordinates. You can't find it on the GPS. This mysterious place is a road in the woods called the 11 Mile Road. For this ritual, you will need some ingredients, just like any other ritual. Some call for blood, candle wax, a glass of water, an anchor. This one's really easy. All you have to have is some sort of vehicle and be by yourself. Now, advisory for those who think they're going to make the trip on a motorcycle or an ATV. It is very highly advised due to the ritual and the ritual's dangers that are involved. You want a full tank of gas and something with windows that'll protect you from the outside, and the best heating system you could possibly get in said vehicle. When starting the ritual, keep your windows up. Do not open them for any reason. Do not turn on your radio, play any CDs, or have your phone on. It's not going to work anyway. Do not drive over 30 miles per hour when on the road. And for whatever reason you feel you should leave your car, I highly advise you don't. And of course, you want to be alone. You don't want people to be taking your self journey with you. When beginning the ritual, start at night when there's hardly any cars on the road and drive the roads that are not busy. You must find a particular road in the woods that takes off from the side. The road will not have any name, as I said earlier, and there's not going to be a street sign, but there will be a sign of metaphysical standards. Maybe you're what you desire the most is wealth. You may see a glimmer in the trees that look like diamonds. If what you desire most is love, maybe you'll see some hearts coming over. Maybe you desire revenge, and you feel that heat inside of you rising greatly when you come to the turn. It is in that moment that you and you alone knows where that marker is, and you take the turn. You see into the woods, and you see that it's dark. You are approaching the road, and you notice that things get a little darker and a little quieter. The road you were on was gravel, but is now slowly turning into dirt. Your journey has begun. You have 11 miles on this road, and each mile you take will lead you down a different part. Mile 1. There's nothing too exciting going on during mile 1. Why would you want something exciting that or scary to happen to you during the first round? This is you by yourself to get caught up in your thoughts. You could still turn around, but the uneasiness that you drive through now, you know you have to keep going forward. Turn on your heat during this time, because you're going to feel the temperature start to slowly drop. This is when you reach mile 2. Mile 2 begins with the weather turning even colder than it was before. You're going to feel your joints tighten. Your body goes numb. Heat may not actually help you out at this point. If you can't handle the cold, you may want to speed up a bit. So remember, do not go faster than 30 miles an hour. Hazards will begin on the road. rocks, sharp turns, potholes, etc. Make sure you're driving a car that's in good shape, because you don't want to stop. If you stop, you may die of the cold. Mile 3. You will start to see shadows of people in the trees. Despite being tempted to see what they are, turn your head, do not look into the shadows. Do not look at them. Do not pay attention to them, or you will be inviting them to come to you. The road is now dirt. Mile 4. The shadows will come closer, and you may hear a whisper in the back of your head. In your mind, you may hear unintelligible calls to you. Sadness will come over you. Tune them out and stay focused, because they are getting closer. Mile 5. The trees are going to disappear at this point as you hit the roundabout towards your middle part of your journey, revealing a clearing as well as a lake. As you may look up into the sky, there is going to be so many stars, more stars than you've ever seen before, and a beautiful moon that's casting a blue light. Do not look into the moon more than just a few seconds, because the road will stop where you're at, and you will plummet into the lake, where you will die of hypothermia. Once you get through that clearing, you're in mile 6, officially the halfway point. You may start feeling helplessness as the trees have returned, and the area becomes darker, darker, to where only your headlights are the only form of source of light that you have, and they will start to flicker. At this point, if you left your radio on and disregarded my warning, you will hear a loud screech that will cause you to rear off the side of the road, crash your car, or will you be overtaken. If you left your car radio off, you will hear it turn on, and you will hear a soothing voice start talking to you about your greatest fears. If you pay too much attention to this voice, images of your greatest fears in life and your insecurities will form in front of you, causing you to feel madness and craze. Do not pay attention to that voice, because it will cause you to steer off. By mile 7, the voice will stop on the radio, giving you a brief moment. However, the shadows are back from the trees, screaming, getting a little closer and closer to when you may hear one right behind you. One of the shadows got into your car. Do not be afraid. They cannot cause you physical harm. They can only cause you mental anguish. Do not pay attention to what it's telling you, and just keep driving straight. What are these shadow people? Some theorize that they were people that took the journey before and didn't make it, and they spend the rest of the time eternity on the 11-mile road, trying to cause more souls to keep them company. Just remember, there is no physical harm. Just pay attention and keep driving straight. Mile 8. Slow down. There is going to be many sharp turns. The cold is going to become unbearable at this point. The heat in the car will not help you. You will have only your wits and your will to survive. The shadows have caught up to you now, because your car is going to die. Your headlights turn off, and you hear the shadows out at your window scratching at them. turn the headlights back on and your car will be fine. Keep going straight. Because at mile 9, your car is going to cease from working once more. Close your eyes and restart the car. Because you may start hearing your windows crack from the shadows around them. Once that car turns on, the shadows are going to be startled by the noise. And you could speed off. You're hitting to mile 10 now. You're calm. There is nothing wrong about mile 10. The shadow people are back, but they're just standing in observance because of what they're seeing in front of them. Some say that they're there as a curiosity. Others theorize they're there to cheer on what's about to happen. Mile 11 is where most people fail. The 11th mile. When you get to the final mile, the car will lose power, but will keep moving forward on its own. You see a red light in the distance in a clearing. Close your eyes and do not open them. If you're able to cover your ears, do it, because for the next 31 seconds, you're going to go through the worst possible experience you will ever have in your life. The cold will turn into unbearable heat, making you feel like your skin is peeling off from your bones. You will feel screaming in your head and in your mind. You'll feel arms and hands tugging at you. Your car will feel like it's being ripped from part to part, and you feel like that you're falling. Whatever you do, do not open your eyes. Count to 31, and you will make it through. The people that have made it through the 11-mile road all wonder what was the sudden turn, what was the difference. Some theorize that you just went through a ring of hell. Once over, the car will start again. Relax and drive. You will reach a dead end. Do not panic. Do not exit your car. Turn it off. Close your eyes and think about what made you want to go on this journey in the first place. Some people's wants and desires may change through the journey that you just went on. Just focus on what exactly it was. When you reopen up your eyes, you're going to be at the start of the road again. If what you sought after was material, get out of the car and go look in your back seat or in your trunk. What you're looking for is there. Or, if it was something like power, revenge, or love, go home. Because the next morning, what you desire most is going to be in part of your life. But hey, we're people, right? We suffer from greed. Is there something else that you may want, that you may desire? You're at the beginning of the road. You could take it one more time. You don't have to go back and look. So how about it? What another 11-mile trip? And that is the story of the 11-mile road.
Very symbolic.
Well, thank you. You guys like that?
That was like a one you tell by a campfire right there.
Very symbolic.
Yeah.
So I remember hearing that story a long time ago.
Yeah.
And it always stuck out to me as probably one of my favorite like things I've like ever heard as far as a creepypasta, because it leaves a feeling on you. There's not necessarily a story about a ghost or a doll or a humanoid coming after you. It's about a test of your own will as a person and as whatever it is that you desire. Are you willing to go through this to make it through it? Mm-hmm. And it's not about the physical harm you're going to face, because clearly you're not in any physical danger.
Right.
They do say in the story, in the ritual, that you don't want to drive your brand new Mercedes out there because it's going to get pretty beat up.
Right.
But you yourself can't physically be harmed there. unless you become an idiot and leave the safety of your vehicle. Mm-hmm. And I always wonder about these kinds of things, because it reminded me initially of Homer's Odyssey.
Right.
And how he had to take a journey and go Correct. Through all of these horrors from beginning to end to be Correct. Able to get to what he needed. Yep. But the idea of a walkabout or a journey mm-hmm. is a very symbolic thing from all cultures and all walks of life.
It certainly is.
Pilgrimages are things that happen all the time. And I know you've done your research into the story, and I was hoping you could talk a little bit about walkabouts and things like that, because I remember hearing the story you were telling me somebody very close to you went through a spiritual journey much like this, mm-hmm. and they saw shadowy figures, much yes. like in the story, and yes. they threw rocks at them.
Yeah. Well, there's a ritual in the indigenous culture, which most of you know that that's part of my culture, is the indigenous Australian culture. And there is a journey that one takes that is the person, not on an 11-mile road, but in the middle of nowhere, out under the stars, exposed to the elements. And you're basically going through your own levels of your soul and your own levels of your body. And depending on the outcome, you can get stones thrown at you. You can get screams at you, depending on if the journey that you're taking is in fact true to your heart, and you know the shadow people do come out, the ancestors do come out. So yeah, I have experienced that one, you know, firsthand. But kind of going on to moving on to a same kind of a principle, but kind of my take with the spiritual journey and things like that, because I thought that was a beautiful. I really, really did enjoy that. If I may.
Of course, yeah.
I'm going to start with this. Because, do we have a caller?
Yeah.
Oh, we have. Oh. I forgot we have a phone call. I got my, who do we have on the line?
Yeah, we got John on the line here. Let's see, John.
Hey, John, you're on the air.
Oi.
Hey, good evening, Bob and Anthony.
Hey, John, how are you, mate?
Okay, how are you guys?
Good, John.
You know, in a past episode, Bob, if you recall, you brought up the topic about fears, and I called in about having the fear of something similar to you were saying about roads. And that was the fact of going down roads with my poor sense of direction and getting lost and having that fear of not, you know, especially in the evening yeah. darkness hours of not knowing where I'm going or, you know, finding my way back and stuff like that. So in a way, I could relate to what you just said about, you know, it's not like a deja vu, but it's mm-hmm. It makes you think, you know, yeah. about traveling down that road, like you just mentioned.
But would you risk it, John?
I don't think so.
That's fair. I thought about it myself, and I don't know if I would do it. That takes a lot of internal courage to go through something like that. And I don't know, I guess I would really have to think about what I want the most in the world, but I appreciate you calling in, John.
Thanks, John.
Oh, absolutely. And one more thing,
sure.
As far as time travelers, with astronauts and ghosts being that category.
The astronauts are technically time travelers at all times, cause they're above and they jump from time zone to time zone. Residual hauntings with ghosts where they're still stuck in a time period. Mm-hmm. Do I consider that a time traveler or do I consider that a time capsule? This is not necessarily they're traveling to the future. They're just kind of stuck. Mm-hmm. So I would argue not traveling through time, but it's looping. A capsule. It's a loop.
Yeah. They're looping.
Okay. So you think that they're like stuck in a certain time
yeah,
period?
Yeah, they're stuck. It's a loop. They're going through the same thing. They're not traveling to the future.
Right.
To them, it's still, I'll just say, 1873. They're still there.
Okay. I see what you're saying. So that's not dependent on when, how do I want to say it? When I don't want to say it when the ghost passed away, because if he,
When the soul, when the vessel
goes to the future, right? Goes to the past, goes to the future.
I guess
so you're in a different time travel there.
Sure, they're stuck in that time period that they passed on in. Now there are spirits that are aware that they are in this time frame still, that they're that an intelligent haunting. Mm-hmm. They're aware that they're here in modern times. I wouldn't consider them a time traveler though. It's not like they died and woke up in 2020. They died in their time frame and they've just existed through time. So they are living out the afterlife with,
and especially in the spirit world, John, in the spirit world, there is really no such thing as time and space.
I see what you're saying. I didn't, I never thought about it that way, but that, that clears a lot to my question. So once good. Again, appreciate that.
Thanks, John. It's nice to hear from you, mate.
Yeah, you guys have a good evening.
Thank you,
we'll
John.
See you later.
Thanks, John. Hey, guys, I want you, we still have some time. Give us a call, 219-845-1100. Give us a call and say hello. We'd like to hear from you. Absolutely. I want to hear if you guys would take the journey. 219-845-1100.
We have another call.
We do. Well, we'll just take him live.
James from Peoria.
Oh, James from Peoria, you're on the line. Hello, James.
Oh, hey there, guys.
Hey, how are you?
Oi.
Good. How are you guys?
Good,
we're
mate.
Doing good.
Nice to hear from you.
So, James, would you take the journey?
I would take the journey.
Okay, what is it that you would desire most?
I'll be honest, it's kind of a toss up between power and revenge.
Okay.
Which if I got the power, I could do revenge.
That's fair. No, that's in the ritual, they call for revenge as being one of things that people seek the most.
Yes.
So that's completely fair.
Cool. Sure. Very cool.
So
I might want my own radio talk show. I call it James After Dark.
I don't know about that. I might have to take my own 11-mile journey.
But I felt a little called out because you were saying you couldn't do it on a motorcycle.
That was in the ritual. In the ritual, in the story, they see people have done it on a motorcycle and on an ATV, but they highly advise against it based on what you go through.
Well, here's my reasoning is motorcycle riders, we usually ride through pretty terrible conditions as it is.
Yeah, but hell itself.
The bike and the elements. Some bikes can outrun the devil himself.
I don't know how you'd feel at the mile, the last mile, getting pulled in and you're in all of that. That would be, would be the scary part.
Yeah. The whole closing your eyes thing for 31 seconds, that would be a leap. But if it's just you and the bike is just a steel horse, if you think about it.
Sure.
And if you felt it was moving itself along, you could trust it, especially if you knew and trusted the bike. And a lot of motorcyclists, even those who don't believe in anything metaphysical or anything, a lot of them carry talismans of different types on their motorcycles. One of the ones I have is both my bikes have a bell on them for road gremlins.
Okay. I don't know how they're going to hold up against hell, but I mean, that's completely worth it.
Hey, every little bit helps, right?
Excellent. If it makes you feel any better, James, Dr. Ben Vanderson wrote in and he's like, what if I want to roll down my window and smoke a cigar?
Ben Vanderson, he would roll down his window and yell at the shadows, quit scratching at my car.
Go on, scoot. Thank you so much for calling in, James.
Thanks,
we appreciate
mate.
It.
No problem. Welcome back, Anthony.
Thanks, mate.
All right, so
before Anthony goes, I'm feeling a little embarrassed, though, because everybody's looking for revenge or wealth. I just was asking for some cheese curds, and I would risk it for that.
You could just drive to Wisconsin. It's a little bit more.
No, I want to take the trip.
You want to take the 11-mile road.
For some cheese curds. From Mars Cheese Castle.
You could drive an hour north.
But that traffic's really bad a certain time of day. I'd rather take this trip on the 11-mile road.
Panic looks in his back seat, just a bag of cheese curds. He's like, well, worth it. His car's like falling apart, giant gouges out of it. We have another caller on the line. We're going to take that here in a second. We have two callers.
Two
callers. That's pretty great this time of night.
Yeah.
That kind of makes me excited.
Absolutely.
I'm excited to see who that is. All right, who do we have first?
First one is Jack.
Huh. This is my drinking buddy from last night.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Jack, thanks for calling in. How are you?
Good day, mate.
Good. Anthony, it's good to have you back, man.
Cheers, mate. I appreciate it. Thank you for the love.
What's on your mind tonight, Jack?
Hey, so I wanted to comment on creepypasta recipes or ritual recipes as they're known on Reddit. So if you look like at articles on ritual recipes, like they say that they all originate on Reddit, but that's actually not accurate. They're older than Reddit. I don't know if you guys remember, but I remember them as a kid, way before internet. And one of the most famous ones, I think, is Doors of the Mind. Are you guys familiar
with
that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, for listeners that are not familiar with it, briefly, you know, it's basically, you know, you sit down, you lay down, you put your head on somebody's lap, they rub your temples, and they kind of like, you kind of like self-hypnosis.
And yeah.
Mm-hmm. You go within your mind, and like you explore these rooms or the neighborhood, and like you can't go in certain rooms because there's demons or monsters in there. And I remember my father telling me not to do it because he remembers them when he was a kid. So these things are actually pretty old. I think there is some validity to them because, you know, if you read the Tibetan Book of the Dead, it talks about how when you're going through the inner journey in the afterlife, you come across these demons that are actually part of you. They're both internal and external demons. And I think that's what happens when you do recipes like Doors of the Mind or other ones, that you come across these demons, these monsters, and they're actually a part of you, and they also have their own consciousness.
You're absolutely right.
It's kind of like a yin and yang kind of deal. So I think people should be really careful to actually, if they decide to do these things. Actually, I don't think they should do it at all. It's very much like the Ouija board, you know. If you do the Ouija board, you know, oftentimes things won't happen, but you do hear stories about things happening.
That's
my two cents.
I have four things I want to add to that. The first thing is I've never seen Anthony perk up during a phone call. Somebody mentions the Tibetan Book of the Dead, and Anthony's like, I got 7 copies in the car. I reference them all the time. I don't see you get excited about things. The second thing is about the rituals and recipes. There's one that I think every kid's ever done, and the recipe calls for a little bit of water and a mirror in a bathroom. And you say a young lady's name several times, and she supposedly appears. I'm referring to Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
And not the drink.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, the ritual stuff, that it dates back forever.
It does.
It really does. I mean, rituals themselves, like I said, ancient cultures go through rituals all the time.
Because of the rituals, they put you into a different state of mind, which actually opens up your mind and you know, activates the pineal gland, and it goes into all that good fun.
Exactly.
It's the last thing I wanted to bring up was the Queen of the Night. She's extremely talented at the Doors of the Mind. Mm-hmm. She was telling me stories when she was a kid. She would take kids through hell on the playground. But I kid you not, she did it with me once, and it not through hell. Sure, it was a little bit more pleasant, but I feel like there's a legitimate power to it if you have really good power of suggestion that you can implant imagery into someone's mind. And the last thing I want to bring up is the Ouija board thing, because Anthony and I did a session once. I'm going to summarize
this one real quick. Go into it without kind of going into details.
It was a late night. We've been at it for a while. We were conjuring things up, etc. Anthony jumps on the board, and we're getting activity. And Anthony goes, "Oi, look at this little bugger." And it spells out a swear word, and the planchet falls back to Anthony. Oh, I kid you not. Anthony's like, "Well, it's the first time a ghost ever swore at me." But yeah, so no, I appreciate you calling in.
I think when they swear, yeah.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mike. Nice to hear from you. Cheers.
All right, who we got next?
I might regret this one, but it's my co-host in the afternoon time, Sam Michael.
Oh, so a WJOB person. Yeah. Hello, WJOB person, Sam.
What's up?
How you doing?
I'm doing just great.
What's on your mind tonight, Sam?
Well, so I was getting in the car, and I'm hearing something about some kind of journey, okay? So
sure.
Tony explained it to me, but I bet he messed it up. What's the stakes here? What are we gambling on?
Your soul.
Your soul. You're basically risking your life,
right?
For something that you want. And if you have the mental fortitude to get through it, you're going to be rewarded, but you're going to go through literal hell to get there.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't like going past Highland, so I don't think he's going to take this trip.
Hey, you're
okay. So it's something that I really want, then. That's what I risk.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, that's the reward, and you're risking your life for it.
Okay. So do you think it would be worth it to gamble your soul to go back in time to before I ever met Tony?
Oh
man. Oh, Nobody ever talks bad about Kyle Panic on this show.
Bob, stand up for your producer here.
Nobody puts Panic in the corner.
I was going to say Chick-fil-A, but that was just
him. Joking aside, Sam, what would you go for? Would you take the journey?
I don't know. That's really, really tough. I guess, I don't know. I guess everybody would risk a lot for success. So maybe success in my career maybe would be something. I don't know. I'm not a big like power person.
Fair enough.
That's great.
Fair enough.
I still think he's going to do Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A?
Yeah.
What? I can just drive like 12 miles to get Chick-fil-A. I don't have to go 11 miles through hell.
No, but some say going to that Chick-fil-A is 11 miles to hell, too, because it's so much traffic.
Yeah, 65 is pretty bad. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Sam. Cheers, that's great.
Yeah, you bet, fellas. Have a good one.
Thanks, man.
Hey there, Count Panic.
Wow.
Hey.
You want to talk about this guy threw you under the bus.
I know how. He throws me under the bus in the afternoon, now under the bus at nighttime here.
Nobody
I can't believe it.
Bob, you got Panic in the corner.
Bob, come on. You got to stand up for your producer there. I was a little disappointed how the way you acted there.
Wow.
Okay, let's get into your bits
so
of lore.
Maybe I'll finish this off then.
Yeah, well, yes, of course. You got some time. No need to do what you got to do.
Symbolic of the journey
and
the 11-mile road. Mine's a little bit of a different take on it. There is a candle in your heart ready to be kindled. There is a void in your soul ready to be filled. Do you feel it? Don't you? That's from Rumi. For a lot of people living in these modern worlds, we have accustomed ourselves to a cliche of simply existing. Going through our life on a simple day-to-day existence, avoiding the emptiness, the shallows of past relationships, the endless hauntings of loneliness, the day-to-day mundane life. But when true tragedy strikes, the true horror of reality within ourself surfaces. Where do we turn? Where do we go? But most importantly, what do we do? Let's take a little journey right now to where the shadows lurk, where the fires of Hades engulf our souls, wrapping themselves around us. Let's take a journey to the essential death and rebirth of our true nature. We all embark on a, quote, spiritual path, as what the 11-mile road was. It's a symbolic spiritual path or journey. For some indigenous aboriginals like myself, we go on a walkabout. Spiritual journeys for many are different. Not one person may ever experience the same fears, feelings, or outcomes. But for all, the hope of that trajectory is the same. For centuries, people have known to truly conquer your fears, one must master our emotions. We must travel. Travel in the sense not by car, not by bus, plane, nor train, but take that most sacred journey within our very own etheric spiritual self. For many, our depths and darkness is something very uncomfortable. Some call it spiritual awakening. Others call it the dark night of the soul. The spiritual path is about death, and from death comes rebirth, gaining and attaining the knowledge that speaks into one's ear just from that silence. It's obtaining the knowledge and real understanding of matters at the source. You will begin to distinguish the trees from the forest. The levels to attain the spiritual growth one desires can be looked at on many different levels, and many, many different teachings. as you just taught us with the 11 Mile Road. From a Kabbalistic and Jewish mysticism point of view, there are five levels of the soul, or dimensions of the soul, not separated, but they're intertwined within the macrocosmos and the microcosmos of ourselves. Each of these five worlds is but a lesson to see the other, essentially joining into one another. Nefesh, the world of action. Rausch, the world of formation. Neshama, the world of creation. Chahan, the world of emanation. And the fifth one, Yada, the world of will. It's the most connected level of our source. So once we take that spiritual path, be it the 11-mile road, be it the journey into the dark soul, being at a walkabout, which is a rite of passage where people undergo a journey, living in the wilderness, essentially a spiritual transition into humankind, which we are. Do we take the 11-mile road? And what are our wishes? What is our true nature intend for us? What our true nature intends for us is a trajectory into happiness, be it wealth, be it love, be it relationships, be it power, be it greed. It's the trajectory of what one desires, which is happiness, which leads to the final few words. We are always in the pursuit of happiness. How we get there is up to us.
It's pretty good. Did you write that yourself?
I did.
It's good. It's very good. Good job.
Thanks.
Yeah. Oh, the occultic poet.
Yeah, once in a while.
Yeah. Anthony's Odyssey. You guys could read that coming soon. That's actually really good.
Thank you.
And the five planes of reality in the Kabbalah and Jewish Jewish mythicism, it's really cool because you could draw the parallels between the 11-mile road.
Absolutely.
Because every mile, even though there's double the numbers, basically,
right.
But every mile is a different path. Sephir, it's a different test, right?
Like a Sephir of the Kabbalah.
It's very, very interesting that you could find that, and you're basically going down the same journey to an extent. You're just doubling it,
right?
And you know, the other thing you brought up were the trees, because you brought that up earlier in your little poem there.
Yes.
And you got to understand that the journey you take through the 11 mile minus the two clearings that you come across, the one with the lake and the moon water, and the other being the hell clearing.
Exactly.
Minus that, the entire trip you take is through woods. And when you're driving down the road and you're trying to find the road off the road to get to the 11 miles, you're going through trees at all times, and trees are very symbolic. That's where life comes from. And the fact that you're taking a horrible trip down a very wooded area is very interesting.
Yes.
Hashtag panic steak.
Well, I too have something I wrote. If you guys want to hear it,
please. Right. I you have the floor.
All right, let me get my thing here. Hold on 1 second. All right, I got my notes right here.
Panic actually wrote notes for an episode once. This is a fact. Do you remember the Rougarou episode? And he wrote about the werewolf instead of the vampire?
All right, here we go. Picture this.
I'm picturing it.
You're looking at a road.
Yeah, I'm looking at a road, yep.
Road filled with cheese curds. Do you pick one up and eat it? Sacrifice your soul? All right, you keep moving along. That's the first mile. I have 150 miles to go. We're gonna be here for a while.
Well, what mile do you get to the Puchki and the
not long? It's mile 10.
Mile 10's the Puchki, and then you have the PBR mile.
That takes you. Puchki takes you about 10 miles. That's like mile 10 to 20. There's a lot of Puchkis to get through, and then we'll eventually get to the donuts and pastries and whatnot. So. You know, I'll save it for Bob After Dark Uncut.
So,
yes, tell me.
Let's start with panic.
Sure.
Would you take the journey?
Yeah, it seems a little risky. I don't know. What are my chances? Well, like, give me a good percentage. Like, what do you think?
I mean, you're driving a car. The percentage is all about your willpower and, I guess, your ability to drive. If you can make the sharp turns and stuff and avoid the potholes.
Yeah, I don't know.
We all take that treacherous journey.
I don't think I would do it just yet.
No?
Not to think about that.
Okay.
Right now, at this moment, probably not.
So there's nothing you desire more that you would risk your life for?
Ah, man, that's tough. I mean, I don't know. If you screw up once, then you're just a goner. So I don't know. I'd rather just do it the good old-fashioned way of hard work and dedication.
No miles for panic.
I'll just do it the more normal way, you know, just doing it
myself. Now, if there's anybody on this team that can make it through that journey, Anthony DeFabio is that guy. Oi, shadow people. Oi, Aunt Sally, is that you?
Need a ride? Hop in.
Come on in. Creepy voice on the radio. Oi, hello there.
I'd be the paranormal Partridge family. I'll be Mr. Partridge. No, Mrs. Partridge.
Oi, you're going to tell me about my fears? Tell me all about it. Come on in. Get to the part. Look at the moon. Nah, I can avoid the moon. What's another moon? I've seen plenty of moons.
Yeah, I'll keep my eyes open at the end. I'm ready for the journey.
Story goes, you're supposed to keep them closed for 31 seconds. Anthony's like, no, I kept them closed earlier. Just kill right in. Lucifer, is that you? Hey, you've lost weight. Okay, joking aside, I think I know your answer.
What's my answer?
Yes. I'm going to bet that you definitely would. And I wouldn't be surprised if tonight you go out and have a cigarette and go out into a wooded area and drive around trying to find the 11-mile road.
Sure.
So, yeah, you would.
Yes, I would.
What is it that you desire most? What are you going for?
I don't think it's anything material. I think it's attainment of one's happiness.
So happiness?
Yeah, in a sense.
Okay.
I wouldn't ask for wealth, nor that's mundane. Anybody can get wealth. We can all get wealthy. But what is wealth but happiness? I know what you would go for. I know. I have to say, it's been bugging me all episode. Are they crumbs?
Uh-oh. No, they're not the slint.
They are crumbs.
No, I didn't have anything.
They look like cobbler crumbs.
I didn't have any cobbler. It panicked all the panic. Cobbler.
I did turn my back.
You did turn your back.
I left them alone for a couple minutes.
Had a whipped cream cup, but anyway, stop it. Okay, would Bob from Bob After Dark take the 11-mile journey?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
What would you want?
Success with the show.
Okay.
Bob After Dark to be the most successful podcast. I have everything I want now.
Good.
I have love. Yes. I don't need to hunt that down. Good. I have a fantastic support circle.
Yes, you do.
I do. I have you guys. I have my family. I have my friends. Yes. So, I mean, I have that. The wealth is going to come from the success from the show.
Right.
So, I'm going in there and everything I have, everything I'm putting all my money down, how's the phrase go? Everything I'm black. Mm-hmm. And you spin the wheel for the roulette, right? I'm going to take that a mile 11 road. The only thing is, and this will be my last question, not to you because you wouldn't take it, but what do you think you're...
Too risky, Bob. Too risky. I beg of you, don't go on there. Just before,
I think there's one more thing that you would ask for.
What's that?
And I think my sister just mentioned it.
What's that?
It's a Kringle. You would ask for a Kringle.
I do like Kringle.
How many Kringles would you ask for?
Just one. I could get Kringle whenever I want.
Why don't you do one per mile?
And then you get 11 Kringles.
11 Kringles.
I feel like that'd be the way it panics the answer of going in and doing the...
cheese curds.
Okay, so symbolically, you're looking for the path that's going to call out to you.
Yes.
What is your path going to look like? What will you? How will you know you come across your path?
Because it would be the most difficult... obstacle.
No, but what I'm saying is to find the path. Okay, so you're driving down the road.
Sure.
How will you know when to turn?
You would just know.
Yeah, but what's going to give it away for you?
You are.
You're going to see just me coming out after you. Come on.
You are.
Okay.
What you desire is going to be in front of your eyes.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But they were in the story, in the ritual. They say that you see glimmering in the trees or you see hearts.
But I believe that that's a symbolic representation of what's actually in your mind.
Exactly. But what I'm saying about you specifically, what are you going to see? What is Anthony going to see to know that he's going down the road?
Sunshine.
You're going to see a light in the path.
Yes. A beacon of light in the darkness.
That's great. Yeah. That's a good answer. Do you want to know what my answer is? On a tree, implanted on one of the branches, is going to be an artist rendition sketch of the Mobile Alabama leprechaun. I'll turn and I'll look. I'll see it and be like, "That's there it is. That's my road."
You know, I have to mention one more thing. My niece in Wisconsin loves moose. Is that how you say moose?
Like the not like the animal, not with that antlers.
It's or kind of like an animal.
Are you talking about the pudding?
No.
Or hare-moose.
What's it like?
Hare-moose.
Oh, hare-moose. No. She wants a moose.
Like a
that way. Yeah, it kind of looks like that. It can look like, yeah. And moose with antlers. That's
one of my favorite animals. True story.
Moose?
Yeah. I love moose.
Remind me after the show to show you something about moose.
Okay, great. All right. Take us home, Anthony. Any last words for the audience this night?
Yes. If you guys are looking for your own spiritual path, sometimes it's better to kind of look within yourselves than it is to seek. Because sometimes we keep on looking, but we're not really opening our eyes to look. Sometimes it's best just to kind of sit there and really think about yourselves and really think about what you want as for yourself and not something mundane that you can attain. Closing words.
It's good closing words.
Thank you.
Count Panic.
I would just say whoever's going to take this trip, make sure you have a full tank of gas.
That's part of the ritual.
There's
good
no
job.
Gas stations within the 11 miles, right?
No.
There's a BP.
There's a BP. Okay. Well, that's good at least. But a full tank of gas and a dashboard Jesus to guide you there. But other than that, enjoy your trip.
Excellent. That's a good way.
Very, very nice.
All right, folks. We're going to see you C2E2 this weekend at our fan meetup. 2:00 at the Fountains. We'll be going live. So you can see us. Plus, Pat and Rebecca from Ghostly is going to be there. They're duoing our fan meetup.
Nice.
It's going to be for everybody that's into the paranormal. It's not, you don't have to necessarily be fans of the show, which I guess if you're showing up, you should probably be fans of one product or the other. But we're really looking forward to seeing you Saturday. That's 2:00 at the Fountain, C2E2.
Yes.
On behalf of the entire Bob After Dark family, welcome back. We're happy to have you.
Much love.
Of course.
And the dolls, do you want them?
No, I'm good. I don't want them.
Okay.
Mom and Dad, I wish you sweet dreams. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. And to the rest of you guys, always remember, not all who wander are lost. And the most important rule of anything we study, as above, so below. Good night, everybody. Stay tuned for the Bob After Dark exclusive show, Bob After Dark Unplugged, where Panic is going to tell us a couple of his own
horror stories.
Horror 150 miles. The 150 Panic miles.
We got all night.
All right, guys. Stay tuned for that. We'll see you guys later.
Memoriam Development.